Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jux are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Coming up at 9:20, we'll be joined by Merrill Hodge, NFL veteran and analyst, draft expert. So we'll pick his brain, talk about the upcoming NFL draft, the Super Bowl, and more.
I have to be honest and tell you, these shows are not fun when you have to try to make that delicate balance between the tragedy that's occurred right outside your window,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, still have fun and be an distraction for people.
Yeah,
it's a delicate balance, and it's hard, especially when you don't have a lot of information, you know.
It's not much you can add.
Yeah.
You know, the updates are really just about, it's the body count at this point, for lack
Which
of a better
just,
term.
It's awful.
Because the investigation, I'm sure, will take weeks, if not months.
It's shocking that it's only like 8 feet of water. Like, you know, it's such a large body that you would think
you'd think it'd be deeper
in spots.
Through
around there. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it is in some spots.
Yeah.
I wonder what the deepest part is.
I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah.
But where those rescuers were, they said waist deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even there.
So shorter. It was more shallow than
probably
eight.
Just poking around there with like a stick. Seeing which, I mean, it's just literally horrifying.
Yes.
It's terrible. And you know what? I got to quit watching that video, even though it's just
of the one
video
of the collision.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like 9/11. You can't keep watching it over and over. They had to stop playing it at some point.
Yeah. You know? So I agree. Jason said at the top of the show that it's going to be a weird show, and it is.
Yeah. It's awkward.
And then you try and make an occasional transition.
It kind of reminds me of the overnight. It's obviously to a lesser extent because it's worse here, but when the Baltimore Bridge thing happened.
Yeah.
Because luckily, I don't think that many people perished. Maybe half a dozen or something.
Yeah.
I mean, awful. But at least it wasn't 67 or hundreds. This could have been worse. Imagine if it was like a 767 or something. You know, like a big plane.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been on planes that have 200-plus people on board.
Yeah, easy. Some of them more than that. Yeah. But how are they doing on the progress on that? Because I can't really tell. On that Baltimore Bridge,
the ship's already out again.
That's good, but like, is the bridge?
Have they rebuilt the bridge?
No, it's going to take a couple years.
No, that's going to be a while.
But I mean, the only progress I see whenever I drive by there is I don't see all the stuff anymore. They've cleared out most everything, but I still see empty space.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a while before they put another one.
I was just hoping they could build it faster than they had anticipated.
I think they got emergency funding.
For it. Yeah.
I think the whoever the owner, whoever the company is that owned the ship, I think they settled a bunch of lawsuits.
Oh, did they?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I heard that on the news.
Yeah.
That's just... But I think the ship has been repaired and is out again on the water.
Right. That's wild.
Yep. Because that happened, what, about almost a year ago? Was that last March?
He was like, yeah, in the spring, I want to say. That sounds about 24. Right.
It's crazy.
So to make a little transition towards what's going on here with the Washington Commanders, because now the dust is settled. We're in the off season. Adam Peters is going to be, you know, going to all these bowls, trying to figure out who they're going to draft. It does seem like the guys underneath Kingsbury are going to be potentially poached.
David Blau is
David Blau was interviewed. Apparently, Tabita Pritchard is being
interviewed. Maybe not OC, but maybe quarterback coach or...
I think he was being interviewed for a quarterback coach job. According to ProFootballTalk.com, this story says...
What about Tabita?
Jaguars interview Tabita Pritchard for offensive coordinator.
Tabita, yeah.
Yeah, I would assume.
But I guess
David Blau, according to this story, was being interviewed by three teams. The Jets, the Jags, and Bears are drawing interest from them.
Right.
I don't know where it goes there. So you don't lose the top dog, but you're going to lose, you know, there's going to be some staff shakeup. I heard J.P. Finley talking about that.
That kind of always happens. Yeah. Even if they don't get poached, they fire guys.
Did David Blau get like a Thanksgiving Day start for the Lions? I want to say he did a few years ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
Well, he started with Arizona last year.
Yeah, I just remember.
He was with.
I think I saw him on Thanksgiving. I was like, wow, David Blau's quarterbacking a team on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. This is kind of weird.
Yeah,
and now he's like a hot coaching prospect. Also
he's only been out of the league for a year.
I know.
The Kafka guy's only been out for a couple years. And his name's being thrown around potentially as a head coach. Remember him, Mike Kafka?
Oh, yeah.
He was still an active player 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, Blau's 29. And in 2019, he had 5 starts for the Lions. So I'd assume that's one of those. He had 2 starts with Arizona in 2022.
I don't know much about Kafka, the philosopher, or the offensive coordinator.
I know less about the philosopher.
I know less about the philosopher.
Kafka?
Trust me.
You've heard of Kafka. Come on.
I don't know.
I know more about
Mike
Kafka.
My dad like read his books. I know nothing about
Kafka
him.
Guy?
I couldn't tell you one thing about him.
Our parents, I would say to a person, including all of our parents, way more better read than us. Not even close.
I mean, that is laughable. Of course it
100
is.
Times.
Of course they are.
I mean, my father's just stacks upon stacks upon stacks of books.
Yep.
And
read all the time.
Not like fiction. Like, you know.
I can't even read a book when I'm on vacation for a week. Like, I've got a week of nothing but time. And I'll read 5 or 10 pages, fall asleep,
right.
Get distracted. Move on to something else.
Get on your phone.
Doom scroll Twitter.
I never
do 100 other things.
Why are you doom scrolling Twitter when you're on the beach?
Because he's addicted to it. He's addicted.
Yeah, probably because I'm addicted to my phone.
I do a little doom scrolling on Twitter while I'm drinking. I sit under my tent, listen to the waves, watch the kids, see what's going on.
But we all grew up similarly. We're guys that grew up in the suburbs who liked sports, and we just didn't have a thirst for knowledge like some of our parents. I mean, my dad. One of my favorite stories about my dad that he used to tell was he was about to come to America when he was 17 years old. This is in the 40s, I think. And he's studying English.
Yeah.
My dad went on to learn 6 languages, but he's studying English. And his dad says, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm about to go to America. I'm studying English. His dad smacked him upside the head. And this is in the era when you could smack your kid upside the head.
Yeah.
And said, you don't need to know English. You just need to know 6 words. Do you have a job for me?
Right.
And that was my dad's beginnings. And he went on to learn all these languages, became an economist, built houses, was a stonemason, all that stuff. But he used to have books on the Renaissance and is reading about the Renaissance for fun. Like, who does that?
Now, I've been to the Renaissance Festival multiple times. I've never read about the Renaissance.
Well, we have thousands of biblical scholar books.
Right.
Martin Luther,
But that at least was his. That at least was his profession.
I don't know what to do with
them?
I've given away some
Goodwill.
Of them already. No, to seminaries and stuff.
Yeah, libraries.
But a lot of it, I'll never forget this. You'll get a kick out of this, Drab. So all the books my dad had, one of them I found was a paperback modern sex technique.
Oh, wow. Look at your dad getting spicy.
Modern sex technique amongst all
Karma Sutra.
All the scholarly work, and it was like drawings.
Yeah. Oh.
And so diagrams? I was like 11 or 12 years old.
Like caveman drawings?
Just like a pencil drawings of all positions.
Sure,
and
sketches. Techniques.
And I'm looking at that when I'm like 11 years old, and it was like finding a Playboy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. In my house, that was
isn't that the plot of like an American Pie movie?
Yeah.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. It might be.
Yeah. Yeah.
From 1959. Yeah. It's like those sex techniques.
That's what it's called, right? Modern Sex Techniques. It was a paperback book.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert Street. Drawings. What's the name of the author?
By Dr.
Robert
Ruth.
Street.
Robert Street?
Yeah.
Bobby Street. He was getting it in.
Yeah, he was definitely getting it
Pops
in.
Was just
Carl
making sure
was getting
he,
it in.
Just make sure
only,
he,
yeah.
I mean, he was doing it.
Let's
yeah.
be honest. There's always
he was a man of the cloth.
There's only so many books about like theological studies that your dad can read. Right.
You got to be a well-rounded human.
You got to have a diversion.
Right. Yeah, you got to be a well-rounded human.
He was a counselor, too, and you know he had to offer advice.
I wonder if he did sex counseling.
Hey, did he pass that down to you?
Counselor!
No, he probably
said, Eric, this has helped me out a lot.
Yeah,
gave it to you on your wedding night.
Did any of your parents give you a sex talk?
That was the bit in American Pie where there was like a sex manual.
Yeah,
hidden in the library.
Yeah, yeah.
I think back. I think our parents did very much bury your head in the sand
and generation.
Very much just like rely on the school, which was different than it is today, but just like teach you the basics, you know, like in fifth grade. You know, the basics, the birds and the bees basics.
They just figured we'd figure it out.
There was
no.
Although then I know some other people where their family, they were very open and they talk about you know, everything.
I mean, the extent
did your parents ever have a talk with you?
Talk, especially with my youngest son, is don't get anybody. Don't make me a granddad.
Right.
Don't get anybody pregnant. Okay. Like, just don't be stupid. It's like,
I don't have.
Don't be stupid.
I have.
All right. That's with the boys. What about with your daughter?
Oh, no. That's my wife's job. If you have a daughter, the sex talk, any sex talk to the daughter is that is the wife's responsibility.
Yes.
Not the dad.
Anything female oriented, wife.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%.
Drabby, but you're very controlling. Do you let the wife? Are you gonna let the wife handle that stuff, or are you gonna be all involved?
You're off of that.
He's very controlling. I know how he is.
Think about that.
Yeah, but I mean, forget about like sex, but like even like
dating,
hurting menstruation.
Why'd you have to say that?
Yeah, it's such a terrible word.
But like, I didn't even use that word.
Stop that.
You know what I'm saying? But like, you have two daughters, so you don't let your wife do anything. You do everything. So how are you gonna handle that?
Not my department.
That one you're going to bail on.
Exactly.
Wait until they become teens and you start folding their thongs.
that's have
trifling.
Them do that.
Trifle.
Yeah, they can start doing their own laundry.
Yeah, yeah.
They can do their own thing. All right, we're going to be joined shortly by, we're going to pivot.
It's sickening.
Merrill Hodge is going to join us soon. Yeah. That's coming up around 9:20, but need to let people know, Metropolitan Washington Restaurant Week celebrates the region's vibrant culinary scene. We got a food drop today from Fig Leaf that's located inside Hotel Zena. Fig Leaf is a place to savor global Mediterranean cuisine with a Latin influence. The lounge-style space features a bold array of international artworks, as bold as the cocktails mixed and dishes served too. This restaurant week, Fig Leaf is offering both brunch and dinner. Brunch is $25 per guest. Dinner, $40 per guest. Some of the menu items they brought us today, shawarma wings, loaded nachos, vanilla French toast, and more. So thank you to Fig Leaf. Go take advantage of those specials they have going on this week for Restaurant Week. Coming up next, we'll talk NFL with Merrill Hodge. He'll join us next here on The Fan. Remember, you could win an ultimate tournament trip to Las Vegas just by listening to 106.7 The Fan. Win a trip for you and three friends during the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Includes flights, hotel, and $20,000 in spending money. Just download the free Odyssey app. Listen to The Fan for at least 1 hour. Listen tomorrow for at least an hour for another entry. It's Odyssey's Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/slamdunk. We're joined right now on the Rude Guest Hotline by Merrill Hodge, NFL vet and analyst. He's going to share his play-by-play to prep for game day for the big game. What's up, Merrill? Good morning.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing? Are you guys ready for this? Are you ready for a Super Bowl in your home without paying expensive ticket prices?
Well, it's a little frustrating for us because our team was right there. It's almost like, oh, I don't even want to think about it, to be honest.
I feel it. Let me tell you this, though. Not that you can guarantee you're going to be knocking on the door every year, but let me tell you this. Your future is bright.
Should be, right? Future's,
yeah, it really is. I'm excited for you guys.
What do you think, the top three needs for Washington in free agency in the draft? What would you say?
Well, you know, if you can get a difference maker on defense, that's always helpful. You know, when you have, you know, somebody that you just got a game plan for, that's always a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, I think you can do some stuff where you become a little more explosive. That can help. You know, that never hurts when you have all three phases that you can attack in the passing game. You know, never failing to upgrade your offense from that perspective. Building inside the trenches is always important, whether it's improving or getting depth. I just think there's great value always, no matter who you are, because that's where it comes down to at the end of the day, how well those areas can play and will play for you. I would think those type of growths. And, you know, you got the biggest issue solved, you know, your quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a team. You know, teams win championships. Nobody will ever be able to prove otherwise to me until they can show me a quarterback to play 60 minutes, a defense to play 60, a special teams to play 60. I mean, everybody got to contribute, and everybody has to play a role in winning a championship. So you try to build in all those. I think those areas of emphasis will help your team get even better.
Merrill, do you think Adam Peters looks at the roster and looks at the salaries, and he looks at how much Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne are getting paid to man the middle as defensive tackles, and look, there's a team that gets run on routinely, and I'm not blaming those guys specifically, but maybe he's just thinking, might have to shake this thing up a bit, might have to move one of these guys. What do you think he thinks when he looks at how much money's allocated to that middle of the defense that, for the most part, in 2024, was disappointing?
Yeah. Listen, not really knowing the numbers, and that's important to know the numbers to make decisions like that, because you are right. Like, you know, everybody always says, oh, get rid of this guy, move that guy, do this. I'm like, oh, time out. You just can't do that based on, you know, how much money you have into somebody. You can't just get rid of somebody, because then you're eating money, and then you don't have money to go buy somebody, you know. So you got to be careful. That's why I look at maybe depth in those areas. Let's just say, contract-wise, it's not easy to just move on with people. But keep in mind, I think something that is going to be overlooked that needs to be in a perspective, this is a whole – everybody was brand new in this process. You did it in 1 year. Do you know how rare that is?
Oh, extremely.
You know, so, yeah, that's a rarity. So, like, you would only expect, just from experience, like, that everybody's going to get a little better next year. Because you know each other so much better, you understand things better, and players will play a little better sometimes, you know. And I think you have to make that as part of your evaluation, too, as you're looking at things. You know, have I got the most here? Is this the best I'm going to get? Or is there growth there that I'm expecting to happen into our next year? I think you have to have vision like that and at least a perspective before you start making a rational decision.
When you look back at your career, excuse me, with Pittsburgh, what was the biggest, because we talked about it all the time. I mean, this team was 4-13, Merrill, last year, and their roster was disintegrated, and obviously new coaching staff, and to flip it around and they go 14-6 if you include the playoffs. I mean, that's crazy, a 10-win difference. What was the biggest turnaround? What was that?
On the road, too, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. What was the biggest one-year turnaround that you can remember when you were with Pittsburgh? Am I putting you on the spot there? Sorry.
No. We didn't have anything that drastic. Like, right. We had like a gradual growth.
Right.
You know, like, now let's go back to, so when I call myself a bridge player, when I first was in the league, free agency was not a part of football. And see, Chuck Knoll believed, and this is how every team had to do it. You had to really draft well, and you had to groom and develop people in your organization. And that's really how it was going to go, period. You know, you're not going to, you know, change a 30-year team every year. That's just not going to happen. So that being said, our first year, as AD said, we went on strike. Our next year, we got a little better, but it was our third year. Like, that's why I go back to how players can get better and grow, you know. And so just because a guy's played in the league, it doesn't mean he's going to play the same way when he comes over to the Commanders. You know, I'm just telling you this. When I went to Chicago, I remember going, oh, my gosh, I've almost been in the league 10 years, and I feel like a rookie again. I'm starting all over. I've got to learn new things. I step in the huddle. I don't know anybody. You know, it isn't until, like, week five that we're like, hey, okay, I'm getting a feel for you. You know, so I know how that experience is. You know, when my career was over, I was part of free agency, so I understand all that. But back when I played, it was like our third year, and we had a bunch of young players. We had a really good draft. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows the name Rod Woodson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, okay, so this is our draft class. Rod Woodson, Greg Lloyd, Artie Nickerson. I don't know if you remember this name, but Delvin Hall, who ended up being the defensive rookie of the year, by the way, who was another corner because they drafted two corners back-to-back, first and second round. Thomas Everett, who was one of the greatest safety, hardest-hitting safeties. He ended up going to Dallas.
I remember him, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so those are guys, like, that was our draft. And so we finally got to understand how to play, and we grew together in our third year. So that's why I go back to, you know, like all these guys that you said didn't really pan out. Some people would go, well, and listen, they might not. I'm not saying, hey, listen, and I've studied them clearly enough to make an evaluation of great detail. What I'm saying is you have to consider that. You know, that their second year, you're going to probably see a more seasoned guy, a more comfortable guy, and a guy who's going to play better for you. Now, if you don't, then yes, you got to make some decisions and some choices. But then salary does matter. You know, how much money you have in some guys. Sometimes you got to live with a guy. You know, and that's why getting some depth, and the more depth you have, the better off your team can be.
As a fan, I am tired of the Chiefs. I'm just tired of seeing them. I'm tired of
seeing everybody is.
I'm tired of seeing all the guys on commercials. You know, Kelsey get on my nerves, and Mahomes and Reed. Yeah. Bundle Rooski. I hate that. So I'm rooting for the Eagles. All right? And I like Saquon. I've always liked him. He's obviously been a huge difference maker. So just kind of give us your thoughts on how this game will play out, in your opinion.
Well, listen, I think Philly, they made a mistake a year ago. Okay, when they made the Super Bowl, obviously 3 years ago, the whole foundation of their entire team was their ability to run the football. The quarterback is a great complement to that. That's the way he plays. That's the way even in college, that's when he played his ultimate best. That's when he went to Oklahoma and they started doing those kind of things. And he played off that, and he fed off that. He grew as a quarterback. Well, then they decided, for whatever reason, we don't need a running game. Our quarterback's ready to take the next step. And they found out, no, that's not the case. To their credit, then they come back to what really got them to the Super Bowl. And they got probably the most dynamic runner in football. Now, at the end of the day, could it be Saquon Barkley? Everybody will say, well, Saquon Barkley could be the difference. And I'm not going to minimize that because I know how important that aspect of your team is. But it will probably come down to how healthy that offensive line is. You know, all those injuries, and I don't know where they are. I haven't followed up where all those injuries are. But that might be the really critical unit in this entire Super Bowl if their offensive line as a unit is back. That to me might be the ultimate difference because, yes, if you can get Saquon Barkley a seam here, a crack there during this game, I mean, everybody's seen what he can do and what could happen. And he could be the difference maker, but I still come back to that offensive line. I don't know how wounded they're going to be when they go there. You know, they had a lot of guys that were out towards the end of that game against you guys. So are they going to be playing with backups? See, I don't know that. But that to me is the critical component of this. If they're all healthy and they got their starting offensive line, I give the advantage to the Eagles from their defensive and offensive line play because that's the most critical aspect of Super Bowls and even actually every Sunday, but in Super Bowl history, that area wins championships for you based on how they play. So there will be your difference, and I would not argue that Saquon couldn't be the key guy to get them over the hump. You know, listen, if you go back to the last game, really – the thing that killed them was that turnover. You know, you just go back to what they – mm-hmm. had Philly not had that turnover, they probably win that game. You know, you can't turn – that's what the Chiefs do. You may hate them. I respect them and love this from them and admire. They just don't make mistakes, man. Mm-hmm. They are as buttoned up a group as you could possibly imagine, and they just don't screw up. They just don't make mistakes.
Merrill, we know you have to run it in a bit, but it's less than 2 weeks until the big game. Countdown to game day is on. Share with our listeners how you're preparing, managing the menu, entertainment options, etc.
Well, here, let me give you the layout. You got to watch the game. So the LG OLED Evo G4, going to bring it into your room. Now, I know a radio, so but it's a, you got 55-inch, you got a 65-inch, you got even a 75 or 77-inch TV option. 8.3 million self-lit picks, luminous colors, powered by Brightness Boost Max technology, and Dolby Atmos sound. So it's an incredible Super Bowl experience from a visual perspective. And then you got to eat. And the ultimate snacks are Farm Rich, number one best-selling mozzarella stick, jalapeno peppers, spinach, artichoke dip bites, you name it. Football fans, visit farmrich.com to score deals on frozen snacks. Now, here's a deal for the fan. If there's a pick six in the game, there's also an opportunity for the fan, Farm Rich fan, to have their own chance to win their own pick six box. It's a box with six free product coupons and limited edition merchandise. Visit at Farm Rich Snacks for details. And you got to have something to drink. So Pinter, okay, this is innovative. It is the only machine that can brew and draft beer and cider. Okay, it's the first in the world. Six-pint freshly made beer or cider in 7 days. You mix the ingredients with water, leave to brew, refrigerate, and enjoy. It's marked down to $49 at pinter.com/game. And you have two free Pinter packs, a free tasting glass, and free shipping when you subscribe. So try to do that today.
Excellent.
And the Cricut Joy Extra, the last one. It's made the shirt I got on, but it's got 50 materials it deals with. It's only 12 inches, but vinyl cardstock, iron-ons, does the whole thing. Cricut Joy prepares you for the game with crafting, customizing logos, and player names. It does everything for you. When you put this all together, everybody comes over. You're the MVP of the game. You have to say no more.
All right, thank you, Merrill.
Merrill, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate
it. Good reads.
NFL vet and analyst, and he tells you how to prep for the big game.
Thank you, buddy.
Merrill.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Most importantly, before the draft last year, he said Jaden Daniels was the most ready of the quarterbacks.
Ooh.
I was looking back at what he said. So he hit on that.
He was pretty extreme. He didn't like Drake May.
He was pretty extreme on both Drake May and Caleb Williams. He said, Daniels is the closest in terms of being pro style. He says, go to two things I mentioned earlier. He played in a pro style system, so he liked him.
Mm-hmm.
For Drake May, he said, that kid will get you fired. Hey, guess what?
He's right.
Did his coach get fired after a year?
His coach got fired, but here's the weirdest thing. Did he make the Pro Bowl?
He did.
Drake May,
The
Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl's just stupid.
You know how he made it? Bo Nix turned him down, he was a replacement.
I like Drake May. I think he's going to be good.
But
there's no world in a billion worlds where he should be a Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Pro Bowl doesn't mean anything anymore.
I know.
He said about Drake May.
And that cements it. Yeah. That Drake May made it.
Maybe it looks good on a contract. Maybe you get like an incentive. But, I mean, so many guys just defer it.
He said, I wouldn't touch him, Drake May. He goes, let's just talk about the two things I mentioned, processing and accuracy. I cannot think of someone as erratic as I have seen at every level. At the end of the day, May is always going to be inconsistent and erratic. And then when he talked about Caleb Williams, kind of the buzzword is he just said he wasn't special.
Right.
Well, I think he's going
to
be.
Remains to be seen.
He might not be special, but he's going to be wrong on Drake May.
Yes, I agree with you there.
And he could be wrong on Caleb Williams if Ben Johnson can, you know, get him in the right system.
Yeah.
Play to his strengths, which I think he probably will.
Well, we'll see. But that's funny that Mayo got fired.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because of Drake May.
It wasn't because of Drake May. There were a lot of other things swirling.
Because he wanted Mike Vrabel
swirling
in there.
Yeah, but what he said about Caleb, he said, just because he runs around, he's exciting, which is not a skill set, by the way, does not mean you can play in the NFL. From how you have to play in the NFL and how he's played, he has a massive learning curve, and it's not going to be easy.
Yep.
I think Caleb will be all right, too, but he's going to be a roller coaster.
I mean, actually, you know, touchdown-interception ratio wasn't bad. Like, he took care of the ball for the most part.
Didn't I see Eberflus got a job?
Yes.
D.C.
That's incredible.
Well, I mean,
who signed? Who was
Cowboys.
That?
Dallas.
It was Dallas.
Yep.
Schottenheimer's
Michael Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, terrible head coach. Maybe he's legit DC.
That's probably where he maxes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that was Merrill Hodge. She gave you a bunch of tips for your game day.
I remember he did this last year.
Yes.
We had the same thing where, like, pull back the curtain, Radio Insider. if we go to the Super Bowl or if we just are here, there are all of these ex-NFL players who get gigs to promote things.
Yep.
Sometimes they promote credit cards. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they promote, sports drink.
I was walking down the hallway
with Beamish a few days ago, and he was just saying, I'm in the midst of booking some gigs
right.
down in New Orleans.
Nice.
Right. Good for him.
But I did remember that Hodge came on and he did the same thing, because he'll get like 7 or 8 things to promote at once.
Got them all in there.
I was kind of intrigued by the beer and cider maker. Not going to lie. Yeah. Sounds kind of intriguing.
Hey, with Bonnie Bernstein's chocolates that destroy Eric's teeth.
Oh, what was in it?
It's not the only thing.
I think I remember the name of the chocolates.
See, this is what I say about cakes. This is best memory.
Epiphany chocolates?
Yes, I think you got it right.
My brain's pretty good. But it remembers dumb things, but it remembers things.
What a promotion.
Yeah.
Here, try our chocolates. Oh, Medufo.
It's not rare for
you. That was the beginning of the end.
It's a great bit. It's been going on for long. You know what? It's an evergreen.
How's
bit.
That tooth holding up, though? No hole.
Oh, that one's good. This is still an attempt, though. That's good. I got money smile now.
Yeah.
You're good. Back to selling. I'm back
all right,
to
we got to go. We're the Junks. We'll be right back. So details are now starting to stream in as to some of the victims of the plane and helicopter crash here in D.C. Last night, the Skating Club of Boston lost 2 coaches, 2 young skaters, and their mothers in the crash. So that's 6 that are tied to the Skating Club of Boston. So I'm sure we'll be hearing these details and they'll filter in throughout the next few days as to who was on board both the airplane and the helicopter that crashed last night around 9 p.m.
Yeah, apparently the coaches were Russian coaches, mm-hmm. former world champions, Evgenia Shishkova and Vadim Numov, both in their 50s. I guess they were the coaches of the...
Yeah,
the club.
They won the world championship in pair skating back in 94. Also competed in the Olympics twice
mm-hmm.
in 92 and 94.
How many skaters did you say? How many kids?
2 skaters, 2 mothers, and the 2 coaches that we just mentioned.
Just brutal. You're going to get more information and more brutal stories about who was on the plane.
Yeah.
As it's released.
Yep. Not an easy show to do in the wake of, you know, all the human tragedy and loss.
This is not easy for us.
Yeah.
My buddy just texted me. He said he was driving over the Wilson Bridge, and you mm-hmm. can see all the search teams in the water, helicopters above. Oh, man.
I just can't imagine how difficult it was right, you know, like half an hour or an hour after it happened. Like when those teams are going into the 35-degree water, the chaos that's there, you're looking for, I guess, different debris fields from both the helicopter and the airplane. In the dark, like you just had, just had to be a brutal scene to process and be a part of.
My boy Mike Bray texted me earlier saying he had flashbacks to 1982 because he was playing for GW.
Mm-hmm.
And this was January of 82, mid-January. So he was getting on a flight, or he was in the airport getting on a flight to go to play St. Bonaventure.
Okay.
And when the Air Florida plane hit. And he said, you know, of course, there was no cell phones. Parents couldn't get a hold of their kids. Mm-hmm. They were in panic. Then they took the Metro back to campus. So
right.
He said he got flashbacks back to 82.
It just brings you back to, you know, how old you were when that happened. Like, I remember when that Air Florida crash happened.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was a driving.
Well, we were off school.
I think we were off school because it was a driving snowstorm.
Of course.
I don't know if it was a blizzard, but
it was
bad
enough
to cancel school.
Yeah.
And then you saw those TV reports come in about it crashing into the bridge. Just an awful story. Yeah, it just brings you back. Just a bad memory. It gets triggered by something happening. How many more years later is that? 40-some years later, almost?
Apparently, the pilots on the chopper had night vision goggles.
Mm-hmm.
So
they should be able to see everything, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it didn't look like the helicopter changed its path at all, like going up or down, like a last-second move.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speculate.
So, you have no idea what happened. It's on a smaller scale. We talked a few weeks ago about that car mm-hmm. that just veered off and went into the Potomac River.
Mm-hmm.
Horrific.
It turned out that they were twins.
His brother was in there too.
Yeah.
Fished him out the next day.
Mm.
Freaking nightmare. You got to tip your cap to all these rescue personnel
who go out there. Amazing. So selfless.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because they, you know, we say it's nightmare fuel. We're not picking out body parts. Like, I don't know how those people
sleep.
Right. We're not like dredging the fuselage out of the Potomac and finding people like still strapped into their seats.
They all
like,
say the same thing too.
How do you deal with that? How do you process that?
Kids destroys them.
Yeah.
And then I've intentionally not thought about the kids because you start thinking about your own kids. Right. And I can't think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
think about people.
I have to take
that,
it out of my head.
What about firefighters? My father-in-law, God rest his soul, but was a firefighter in D.C. for 30 years. And he would go into burning buildings and see kids all the time.
Yep. Yeah.
And then the next day you have to interact with your family and be normal.
I guess after time it just kind of numbs you.
Mm-hmm. You learn to separate it. I mean, I don't know if he did many rounds of emergency medicine, but I would imagine that Kurt, your oldest son, who's a doctor, did some emergency medicine. Those people deal with it night out, over and over.
Chaos coming
everything.
In there all the time.
Horrific car accidents, gunshots.
Yep.
Yeah. Nightmare.
Anyway, hey, real quick, getting back, we were talking about Maryland's big win over Wisconsin in College Park last night. It's rare when all of the local schools win on the same night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It actually never happens. Mm-hmm. But last night, it happened because Maryland beat Wisconsin.
Yep.
Right? GW beat Richmond.
There's two.
I'm gonna throw in just the Virginia schools just because we've got connections.
That works.
Mike Jones is a buddy of mine. And he's a coach at Old Dominion. They beat App State on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia, who's not very good this year, beat an awful Miami. Miami's 4-17, but Virginia went on the road.
Their
nigga
got out.
They're 0-10 in the conference, but Virginia beat Miami. Virginia Tech, who's not good either, went down to Florida State and won. An American beat Lafayette on the road, and George Mason beat Loyola Chicago. That never happened. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, that'll never happen again the rest of the year.
Yeah, we talk
about all the local schools won on the same night.
We talk about how the Commanders turned it around from 4-13 to go 12-5, make it all the way to the NFC Championship, get 14 wins. And Larinaga talked about this at his presser. That team, what did you say the record was? 4-17?
4-17, 0-10 in the conference.
They were in the Final Four 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and it wasn't a total fluke Final Four run like some sub-500 team. But the turnover of players in college basketball is so much sometimes with the transfer portal and everything.
He didn't leave right away, right? Is he leaving at the end of the season?
No, he left.
No, he's gone.
He's gone.
Wow. Yeah, his assistant took over.
Wow.
And probably won't get the job.
Yeah.
Oh, and Navy won. Navy beat Lehigh. I forgot to mention them. So all the local schools, they must have won like 8-0 last night.
Right.
That's never
That's good.
Happened. That's great.
Should have put it in parlay.
Yeah.
Cashed in.
Yeah, are we going to do any? Are we going to do any weekly parlays now? Football season's over. Or
we could grasp. Sure.
I mean, why not? You guys are degens.
I mean, we need to do a big game parlay. Clearly,
yeah. Definitely doing a big game parlay.
You want to do like?
I don't know. Just anything.
Home run bets or
college.
Well, how about just do anything? That could be
Pebble
an interesting
Beach.
Part of it. Like if he wants to do golf bet, and you, that's what we used to do, right?
I as long as it's not, it won't accept the parlay, the golf bet, golf already.
Well, you
started.
Never know. I don't know how that.
Yeah, that happens so many times.
By the way, the critical flaw is I've been putting in the parlays, or more recently,
you haven't been.
I forgot to put in the most recent.
Well, you're gonna
parlay.
Be on the hook.
Yeah, and I was like, well, if
we hit two out of three,
if Zach
like
Ertz scores, then there's a real sweat.
Yeah, I asked him at Honor Brewing because I was like, did you put in the parlay? Because I knew that my guy hit and somebody else hit. Let's say it was your guy. I mean, who the hell cares? Doesn't matter. Bitseason hit. Whoever hit.
Uh-huh.
Two had hit of the first game.
Uh-huh.
And then I checked. And I was like, hey, we need a garbage touchdown for Hurts. Now, ultimately, he didn't get it.
Right.
I was like, then all of a sudden, we're in the mix for this parlay kick. It's like, oh, I forgot.
Totally. It just spaced it. I didn't put a reminder on my phone. I just slept on it.
It's all right.
Why do you wait till Sunday anyway? Is it because you might get a boost?
I grasp at the boost all the time. I think the boost.
So that's what happens is.
Yes.
I could put it in on Friday, like right when we do it.
Yes.
But you wait.
I wait.
And then you forget.
And I forget. That's the linear progression.
All right, we saved us on $10
and
this week.
Zach Ertz was my pick, so
that's fine.
That was my guy.
I mean, he had a big game.
He had a monster game.
Just didn't get in the end zone.
Nah, what are you going to do? These things happen.
He had one touchdown pass to Terry, right?
I'll be honest. If everything had hit, I might have had to just renege.
He had one.
Because that was a big one.
Sorry, I'm not digging into my pocket for 12 hundo. You guys are just going to have to eat it.
Sorry.
Too bad, so sad.
I can't remember what did we bet in the Chiefs game.
I can't remember.
I had Cook, who scored. I can't remember who the Chiefs...
Could have been curious. Could have been a close
one. Was there a Kelsey?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't remember if he scored.
I don't think he did.
Scored. He got like two balls.
I didn't think he did.
All right, it was a worthy game.
We're going to hook up caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score a pair of tickets to 106.7 The Fan Live. That's tomorrow
night
at the Tally Ho. You can join us. You can join Grant and Danny, B. Mitch and Finley, all of your favorite 106.7 The Fan personalities to the sold-out event. You can't buy tickets anymore online. You can win them if you're the 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067. You'll be hanging out in Leesburg with all of us tomorrow night. EB, right. Don't forget that. 106.7 The Fan Live tomorrow. Put it on your calendar. Put a reminder on your phone. Do what you got to do.
I'll probably be there.
I think you'll probably be there, yes. Yeah.
When should I leave G-Burg if, let's say, my target is 6:30 p.m.?
I have no idea how long
it takes
to get to
Leesburg. I can't remember what the call is.
Don't you want to give yourself wiggle room, or you don't?
Yeah.
I mean, I would leave at 5. An hour and a half is a reasonable amount of time. And then in a perfect world, you get there 6.
Is there any way for me to drive to Leesburg without paying, I don't know, $35 in tolls? Can anybody tell me how to do that?
Yes.
Drab?
Yes.
Yes.
You can take there are definitely alternate routes.
Just take the back road.
You get off on 28 and then you go Leesburg Pike.
You go to 7.
So I avoid the green
one. Or you could take the Beltway just to Tyson, go to 7 right there.
Is it literally $28 to get out there?
No. You get on the greenway, you'll get boned. Sure. Don't get on the greenway.
It's pricey.
It'll be 13.
You know what? I just want to get there.
You don't care how much you pay. Yeah. All right, we have to get out
of
here.
I'm already brokey.
We'll see you again tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next here on The Fan.